You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Well, hello and welcome to the Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears.
Hello, everyone. You are
joining us again
today,
whether live or on a rebroadcast. So thank you for watching. We're so glad that you're here with us. So one of the things we want to say at the very beginning is please like and share the broadcast. Get it out to your friends and family and couples that you know that are looking to, make their marriage more fruitful, make it more desirable, bring more joy and happiness.
We can always improve.
Yeah, there's always opportunities to improve. And so, hey, we just want to help marriages, help couples to really fulfill their life and marriage in the way that their hearts desire. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to give us the desires of our heart.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
And so, so please do that. But hey, the other thing I want to tell you too is you can watch us on a number of different platforms. You can watch us on Facebook at Revival Now Dan Steep. Same thing on YouTube. You can watch us on our website, revivalnow.com. You can watch us from our mobile app. You can download that off of the Play Stores, Apple or Google. And we also have TV apps with Roku and Apple. So there's a number of different ways that you can watch us.
Amen.
And you can listen to us even by podcast. So, hey, there's a lot of different ways to connect with us. So please do that and share and like the broadcast. So today we're talking about our past.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, are my parents' issues being brought into my marriage?
Right.
So that's a pretty big mouthful.
And it's a resounding yes. I mean, unless you have been made aware of what we're going to talk about and you have brought something, some negative thing, you can bring positive things into your marriage from your parents.
Right.
But today, you have at some point in time brought in something negative, you from your parents, me from mine, you guys out there.
So
from your parents, it's just normal. It's natural. It happens.
So we're going to bring baggage issues in from our lives, from our childhood growing up. Hey, we're not down on our parents
at all.
There's no perfect parent out there. We know ourselves that we were not and still are not perfect parents. We do our very best. We try to follow what God's word is and how he looks at parenting and our behaviors and what we are communicating by our actions to our children. And so we know, look, we're not blaming, we're not judging. We're simply saying, hey, there's some opportunities here that you can take a look at, as we have done in our life.
That's right.
That we don't want to carry on into the future, into our generation. So the more
that you allow God into your life in general, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the more that you get into the Word and you understand the heart of God for every area of your life, you start seeing some things that aren't necessarily healthy in your marriage or in your parenting. And then you're just like, okay, God has better.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we're in the world and we're like, okay, we need self-help. It is God has better.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of the thing that happened for us. You know, we learned and grew and knew that the way we were, we didn't want to stay. And so,
revelation comes.
Yeah,
it does. You begin to realize that, hey, there actually is a better way. And it's hard to deal with. I'm not going to say and lie to you and tell you that, oh, yeah, it's easy. It is easy because Jesus took everything on the cross on our behalf. And so, yes, those things can die. But until you get revelation of that, you don't know what you need to work on. And you can't call that thing what it is.
Yeah.
Name it as a sin and then repent of that
and
allow yourself to walk in a new way. So it can be challenging, but don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
If we can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, and everything that we've talked about,
you have to be willing.
You have to have recognition. You can't work on something you don't realize or
exactly.
you don't recognize is an issue.
Yeah.
So, that's what we're talking about.
I think this is something we talked about a long time ago, but we have blind spots in our life, right? Just like you do when you're driving your car down the road, you have blind spots. And so sometimes you even need help from your spouse or a trusted friend, a pastor, to help you to see things that are operating in your life so you can deal with it.
Amen.
And so there's two big things that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. The first one is we're going to talk about inner vows, but the two things, not inner vows, but we're talking about iniquity.
Like, wait.
We're talking about
I don't have that material, but I can talk about it.
Okay, what does that word mean? Well, we'll break that down just in a minute. But iniquities, and we're going to talk about inner vows. And so You know, with iniquities, those are big things, and inner vows are big things. They're both negative things, actually. So they're not really positive. They're just wrong behavioral approaches to doing life, how you respond to things, how you deal with conflict, all those kinds of things. If you're just a person of anger, these are all iniquities that come from our past. That's so, like, you know, Donna said earlier, you know, we made a decision early in our Christian life. We got connected with a great couple of ministry from Michigan, and they helped us to see some opportunities for inner healing in our lives and to deal with some troubles from our past. We didn't realize that. That's when the revelation came. And so, but
well, we're walking around like we have a perfect marriage, right? You know, I don't know if you did, but I sure did.
I was prideful. and I can't say that there aren't issues of pride that come up from time to time, but there was definitely pride in my life. Definitely thinking that our marriage is the best. It's the greatest. I mean, what's wrong with you? And just the wrong attitude altogether.
Yeah, you had to be stripped of all of that, which is, we did the hard work.
Yeah.
And allowed the Lord to just strip us down and rebuild our marriage and rebuild us personally. So,
So, you know, Don and I came to a place where we said, hey, we don't want our past to define our future. And at some point, we came to the conclusion that we want to break the cycles of our past. Mm-hmm. Again, not that our parents are bad. Mm-mm. No parent is ever perfect. We're not perfect parents, but we had to break the patterns of iniquity, patterns of bad behavior, wrong behavior, negative behavior, so that we wouldn't continue to carry that down to our children and our children's children. And so you have to have a resoluteness about that mindset, and you have to say, no, I want to break that. I don't want to continue to model that behavior to my children. And I don't want that for myself because, one, it affects this relationship.
That's right.
It affects our relationship. And so we just wanted to deal with that thing. Amen. So we wanted to break those patterns. And as I said before, we've all been subject to imperfect parenting. Mm-hmm. So we've learned things that were modeled to us. And we'll talk about some examples of what this looks like in a minute. But we had imperfect parenting. And so we picked up on some things from our parents that weren't necessarily biblically sound in how to handle things, how to deal with things, how to relate, how to have a healthy emotional relationship as a married couple. And so that had a negative impact and a negative influence on our lives. And so anyway, I think at this point we want to, like, what's an iniquity?
Yeah. So
what does that look like? What are you talking about?
I think when, you know, you think about the Bible and you think about iniquity, you think about, okay, that's just sin.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, the Bible talks about our iniquities being sin, but it's also talking about the sinful behavior patterns, the sinful patterns that we can get into, like what we've been talking about. Yeah. So we're going to have you read. So iniquity also means like immoral or grossly unfair behavior.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what we're talking about is a sin pattern, a sinful pattern of unfair, you know, behavior that we've adopted in our lives. So we wanted to read Exodus 34:7.
Okay.
And you're going to do that.
I'm going to take care of that. Exodus 34, verse 7. It says, I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive. So this is God speaking. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. So we have a merciful God. That's a great thing. That's the beauty of our God.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not excuse the guilty. So this is people that are continually staying in unhealthy behavior patterns.
Once they've recognized and understand.
Or sin. It's been recognized. And it says, so I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and their grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations.
So
that's basically expressing, like, hey, there's things that are happening in the parents and even, you know, our grandparents for that matter. And so
and our great grandparents.
You'll see, and we've all seen this. If you look at families and you see things that families struggle with, not because, you know, we want to be judgmental, but because it breaks our heart to see that. And we know that there's actually better. God has better for everyone, including ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see these family patterns from the grandparents to the parents to the children to the grandchildren, you know this thing is real. And this is exactly what the scripture is speaking to, is that once it's recognized and understood, God will forgive. He will forgive those iniquities. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But if you aren't willing to confess those things as sin and call them what they really are, then you're going to continue to see that thing play out in your family mm-hmm. line.
And you know, it's not a like you're going to beat up on yourself and, oh, woe is me, and now I'm a victim. And
right.
And, you know, it's not a judgmental thing on mm-hmm. our part, you
right.
know. I mean, if you are made aware of things and you don't repent and you don't make things right, that's God. God's the only judge and jury here.
Exactly.
But we're not trying to condemn. We're not trying to make anybody feel bad for the way that their parents, you know, and the habits and behaviors that we've picked up from our, we've done the same thing, like we mm-hmm. said. And so it's really just an awareness. It's not a just, I hate that word. It's really an awareness mm-hmm. so that we can be better.
Yeah.
And so,
it's absolutely,
you know,
true. It's an opportunity.
We all grew right? up. It's an, exactly. It's an opportunity to take responsibility to allow God to do something better in your life.
And if I can, I'm sorry, scripture's coming to my mind right now, which is great. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing that. But God said, you know, I put before you life and death, yeah. blessing and cursing. Now choose life. So, right, it's an opportunity. God's not, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything. But when he makes you aware of something and he recognizes something that's happening in your life that's really not of him, mm-hmm. he's given you an opportunity to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And he wants you to be able to deal with it and know that he's paid the price. He's not coming at you from a judgmental thing. He's coming Amen. To you with love and mercy and kindness and saying, look, this doesn't have to be your future. I'm rewriting your story
Amen
in your
that.
Life. Let me do that. Let me help you. I want to help you because I love you. That's really mm-hmm. God's heart toward us.
Is it in Hebrews? We've said it before. I must decrease and he must increase.
That's
John.
The book of John, I think chapter 3, verse 30, if I'm not
okay.
mistaken.
I knew there were some threes in there somewhere, but I wasn't sure.
Lots of threes.
So we always, always, always are decreasing in our lives. The flesh has to be surrendered so that God can increase in our lives. I
no
love
doubt.
That scripture.
No
so doubt. The Hebrew word for iniquity is, I'm going to let you say it because...
I think it's Avon.
Avon. Mm-hmm. I said Avon, but that's, you know, like makeup and whatever.
Right.
Avon. Basically, Avon, if we're mispronouncing it, forgive us, please. Give us some grace. It just means to bend. So it means bend. And so when we grow up with certain negative behavior patterns that we see in our parents.
Yeah, that's modeled, right?
They're influenced, you know, from watching our parents. We are obviously, this is a duh statement, but maybe some of you didn't realize that the things that you're doing now that aren't bringing peace into your marriage and into your kids, quite possibly are those negative bents that you, or negative influences that you've picked up from your parents.
Right.
Again, no judgment, just be aware of it. Be aware of it. And, you know, we develop a bent towards certain ways of doing things that may not be biblical,
right.
that may not be covered or bathed in the Word of God,
right.
which that was my case and that was your case.
Absolutely.
You know, so growing up, our parents, you know, this is why our parents are our biggest influence. We do what they do. We do what we mm-hmm. see them do. Now, they may say something different. But the old saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, mm-hmm. is very true. And I know a lot of people, they say that, and I've been guilty of that in judgment, saying that about somebody in a negative way. Mm-hmm. But it can also be in a positive way. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, if
right.
you're doing good, godly things and your parents did good, godly things, you know, that's awesome. The
right.
apple doesn't fall far from the tree is a positive thing.
Yeah.
Right. But most of the time it's meant as a negative thing. And so what happens is parenting is more caught than taught. So it's more about action speaking louder than words, right? So your mom and dad could be like, do this, 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 and this as you parent. But when you're watching them day after day, hour after hour, week after week, year after year, do something that's not lining up with what they're saying, mm-hmm. what you're going to catch is what they're doing.
Exactly.
So actions truly do speak louder than words.
Yeah. So really I've been, and there's probably possibility of that yet today, because I'm not going to say that I have arrived, and you probably wouldn't say the same mm-hmm. thing, but you know, we can have a tendency to be hypocrites, right? Regardless of what we say, mm-hmm. to our children, they're really watching what we do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so they're always, you know, our children are always, and we did the same thing. They're always making a mental recording of our behavior.
Oh, yeah.
And they're trying to say, look.
Okay, and it's unconscious. It's just something that they do.
They're observing. Yeah. But I think even today's young people, because of the access to the internet and just information and so on, they're much more, informed.
Informed.
And I think they see things. I mean, young people are smart anyway. But I think they're more informed about these kinds of things that they see taking place. And so I think they're watching. I think sometimes even purposely to say, okay, my parents saying this, but they're really doing another thing. They're really being a hypocrite.
Oh, yeah.
So they're telling me to do this, but
I'm saying, do what I say and not what I do.
Right. Exactly. Do what I say, not what I do. Right. So you're being a hypocrite at that point. So, you know, when our kids grow up and they leave the nest and they become married and they have children, what are they looking to? What's their reference point? Yeah. They're going back to those mental tapes, those mental videos that they've captured from years of influence under us as parents, or the same went for us in our lives. And, you know, so we brought our things into the marriage as well.
Subconsciously, it's happening.
Absolutely. And so then what are they going to operate from? They're going to operate from that mental video or videos that have taken place over their life. It's like, you know, back to that word Avon that you talked about, it means bent. So just kind of a quick analogy that I heard used is like, just imagine like a prevailing wind, even like a hurricane force type wind where it's just a constant blowing, right? Mm-hmm. And you look at that tree and it's just getting bent over, right? Well, when you have a consistent influence like that over a period of time, like you would with a hurricane and that prevailing wind, it's going to remain bent in that way. And that's exactly what happens to our children. Yeah. That's what they've seen over years and years and years. And so they're going to reproduce and do exactly what they saw, not what was said to them, but what they actually saw.
And also, I've witnessed this with our daughter and her children, more specifically her firstborn, because he's almost three now. You know, she obviously lives on her phone as well and has watched all of these, you know, all these trends that have come down the line of like gentle parenting and whatever else, you know, has come down the road that you see on TikTok or Facebook or people posting about. And she's truly tried those, you know, but she goes back to, because it's hard to create a new habit, right? And she goes back to what she saw us doing as young parents and what she witnessed us and the reciprocity that she saw in our behavior and our parenting over years and years and years and years. And so I'm not saying that she has stayed there.
Yeah.
Because she endeavors to do better for herself and for her kids. We've instilled that in her. We want them and her to break, you know, those old patterns of behavior. And it's not easy. It's not easy to create a new habit of doing things. We've done that. You know, it takes time and it takes work and it takes effort.
The Bible talks about you need to renew your mind.
Absolutely.
And the only way you do that is through God's word. You have to, once it's understood the issue, then you have to go to the word of God and say, okay, what's God's word say about this?
Yeah.
And then you start to see the patterns of behavior. Because the Bible, you know, even through negative things that happen in the Bible, right, you're still being taught what not to do. Then there's things that you're being taught to do, right? Mm-hmm. So you see both in the Word. And so you can learn from both perspectives, right, which is what we're kind of talking about.
Yeah.
So God is always teaching through His Word on, here's the way to best approach that.
Right.
And you're going to avoid pain and difficulty.
Here's an example from my life, our life, that has filtered over into our daughter's life. And she has been working on this and is getting very, very good at dying to the flesh in this area. But for me, and I've told you guys about this so many times, anger and control, right? That was a negative influence that I learned from my father. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I'm not downing my dad. I love my dad. My dad and mom did the best that they could do and the best that they knew how with what they learned from their parents. And
sure.
Just back. It's what we're talking about. It's a generational thing. But we have been, you know, made aware of that this is not the way you know, now this is not the way that God wanted us to raise our kids. And unfortunately, we didn't start until they were high school. Taylor was probably college when we were kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, this is the revelation that we had. So what our goal is to leave a legacy for our kids that they can be proud of. And so on down through the third and fourth generation and so on. And so that's what you do. It's never too late to start, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. That's a great point right there.
Never too late to start. So anger and control was a bent, an avon, a sinful behavior pattern that I adopted by watching my dad.
So what happened? I mean, as a result, I'll just say it. I don't want you to have to guess what I'm thinking.
Thank you.
So, you know, with the anger and control, what that led to really was manipulation, right?
Yeah, for
sure.
Because
ultimately you wanted an end result. And so you saw how your father used anger and control to manipulate to get ultimately what he wanted. Yeah. You followed in that same
pattern. Well, and it was an unconscious thing. I just assumed that's how you parented.
Exactly.
You know, that's just how it was. It's the way it was.
This is how you deal with things.
It didn't make me feel good, but I didn't know any other way.
Right.
I was oblivious to any other way of parenting, period.
Yeah, same with me. You know, so my dad, you know, I love my dad. He's since passed on. My mother has as well. So we really only have one mother remaining, your mom. Mm-hmm. So three of our parents have passed and went on to be with the Lord. But what I learned from my father, one thing I learned from him is he was emotionally unavailable. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a great provider. You know, he taught me things. He taught me discipline and hard work and the value of hard work. And I've learned all those positive things. But one of the negative things that I've learned from him and still can struggle with even to this day, mm-hmm. so I still continue to work on this, is being emotionally unavailable. So I would just, my father would just withdraw. He would never really engage. And it was always my mom that was the one that was the communicator, mm-hmm. right? The one that was, so you know, when
and
it was
not always in a healthy way.
Not always in a healthy way, but she was the one that would talk with us about issues and things like that, about emotions and what have you. That really didn't happen so much with my dad. And so I saw in my own life, as I reflect back with our daughters and as they had their own struggles growing up and through high school and so on, I was just emotionally uninvolved. I removed myself from that because I wasn't comfortable in how to handle that. I wasn't confident in the response or the counsel that I would give our daughters. And so I would just pull back and I would put that all on my wife.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened in my family growing up.
Yeah.
My dad would withdraw, allow my mom to handle it. You know, I guess in one sense you would say that, you know, I was always the good guy. Not that I was, but I was always, you know, taking this position of trying to be the good guy and you were going to be the bad guy. Mm-hmm. You were going to be the bad cop. Mm-hmm. I was going to be the good cop, right? Mm-hmm. I'd let you handle all the hard stuff and deal with it. And I would come in behind and swoop in and say, oh, is it okay? And so it was...
And sometimes you didn't even do that.
I didn't even do that.
Yeah.
Or if the girls would do something that was really against what I had believed or what I had found out in the Bible was true, I was really disappointed. I would withdraw and I would go to this place of being a victim, mm-hmm. and think that I caused the problem when they have their own free will to choose what they want to do in the first place.
That's right.
So I just really struggled with this whole emotional unhealthiness and withdrawal in mm-hmm. my family. But again, it was patterned after what I saw my dad do.
And this is what we're talking about. It is the power of repetitive modeling.
Yeah.
We as parents, we model everything to our children, everything. And when we are repetitive in that, whether it's good, you know, and biblical, and or whether it's a negative sin pattern or a sinful behavior pattern, you're still modeling something. So you're modeling a repetitive modeling is it's either good or it's bad.
Well, read that scripture from Proverbs. Was it
22:6? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Yeah.
You know, that scripture, you know, there's a lot. It's heavy.
It's very, if you really take time to meditate on it.
Yeah, because what does that mean? You know, train up. You know, I thought since I controlled my children and they were not out of line and they knew, you know, that a look and a finger snap meant, you know, I thought that was good. You know, I had mm-hmm. obedient children, not that we were even in the Bible at that time.
Right.
But it affected them negatively. And so that's what we're talking about. So I didn't even know how to train up a child
in the
proper way.
I didn't either.
I was so missing the love factor, yeah. the compassion, the nurturing, the empathy,
all of that. Really understanding what we were modeling.
Exactly.
You know, and there's another scripture I'll just read real quick is from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will reap."
Right.
So when you sow bad seed, if you sow anger, if you sow a lack of mercy into your children when they're growing up and you don't teach them the ways of God and who God really is, that's going to come back mm-hmm. into your child.
Oh, actually,
and you're not training your child up in the way they should go, right? So if you, as parents, if we sow bad seed, we're going to see that reaped in the next generation. It's going to happen because
Absolutely.
God will not be mocked.
Absolutely.
And his word is true. And so these are powerful yeah. truths that yeah. if we'll just grab a hold of, one, for our own healing and deliverance, right? God wants us to be free. He wants to set us free. He wants to see our lives transformed. He wants to rewrite our stories. And so, but we just have to recognize that and follow it and allow the Lord to train us up so that we can train our children the right way that yeah. they should go.
So we're going to jump into some examples of familial iniquities,
yeah.
Family negative or sinful behavior patterns. These
sure.
are some examples. And then we're gonna finally end up with, and we'll wrap this up, with questions to ask yourself to discover. Mm-hmm. It's a discovery right now. Do I operate in these? Do I, you know, so we're going to wrap that up at the end of this broadcast. And then, so some examples.
Yeah.
Some examples are anger. I mentioned to you guys, anger, I'll just / control.
Yeah, right.
That goes hand in hand. You know, why
right.
why do people exhibit anger? It's to control.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
So examples of some familiar sinful behavior patterns that parents pass down to their children. Substance abuse is huge.
Yeah,
if your parents
drugs or alcohol,
you will have a tendency to pick that up as well.
There's one that I thought about this yesterday, and the next couple are chauvinism, sexism, or racism. How did your parents deal with those things? Mm-hmm. Was your father, you know, showing chauvinism? I think in some regards, I've had that mm-hmm, in my
yeah,
life
yeah,
because
yeah. I think you were kind of, I would say, yes, you had been chauvinistic,
mm-hmm.
But it was way under the radar. Like you operated in it, but there you kept it under wraps.
Yeah. And so, you know, Lord, forgive me for that because I took.
He has.
Yeah. Well, when you have some more recognition yeah, of yeah. it, I'm basically asking the Lord to forgive me right now
yeah.
for bad behavior, because that's exactly what it is. You know, so just a little bit of that to say is historically what I saw. So not that my dad was a chauvinist in the sense of being demanding and forceful and, you know, commanding my mom to do certain things. That's not it. But what my mom displayed, it's kind of odd because mm-hmm. I picked it up from this pattern of behavior. But my mom did everything, you know, in her generation, and not that it's like, you know, absolute with that generation of people and married couples, but she did everything. She did everything for my dad. She did everything for us kids. Mm-hmm. And so then I got this belief that that's what you should do.
Repetitive modeling,
right? But that became a chauvinistic attitude. Like, why aren't you doing this? You know, my mom did. But it wasn't something
we
saw my dad.
We didn't verbalize that.
I didn't see my dad make any demands like that upon my mom.
Yeah.
But she just did that. And then I had this expectation, which is really chauvinistic, that that's what the woman's supposed to do. Why aren't you waiting on me hand and foot? That's what my mom did.
Mm-hmm. And so when that didn't happen, the silent treatment would come. You would withdraw, and which you didn't, unbeknownst to you, that was
add
something.
Add that to the list.
All right, let's continue to go.
Yeah, so another one is physical, verbal, emotional, or sexual abuse. So abuse in a lot of different forms. So it can happen that way. So if you see that happening in your family, and you're wondering why that pattern is in your life, or you see that happening in your children's life, maybe you've dealt with it, but it's still carrying down. It hasn't been fully dealt with.
Right.
So that's another one. Bigotry is another one. Bigotry is an issue. How do you deal with people that don't agree with you?
Yep.
You know, prejudices that you may have.
Yep.
Immorality, a sexual immorality. Was that something that was mm-hmm. happening in your family from your grandparents? And maybe you haven't heard those stories, but you have to wonder if you see that happening in your own life, it had to come from someplace.
Yeah. And we're talking about, obviously, adultery. We're talking about perversion. We're talking about all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And immorality.
Yep.
Negativity is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. Like, that is a big one that tends to just flow freely from generation to generation.
It does.
That is a big, big sinful behavior pattern that people pick up. And sometimes they don't recognize it or even want to, because it's just what has been happening in their families yeah. forever and ever. Lack of faith and a lack of belief. That's a sinful behavior pattern that can be passed down. Perfectionism and conditional love. That's something that I had to deal with.
Right.
At least I felt like I did.
Have.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't the prettiest, if I wasn't the best, if I wasn't doing what my dad deemed to be good, then his love was withdrawn, and that came out in a silent treatment, right?
Right.
And so, unbeknownst to him, it's probably just what happened with his family. You know, I'm not right. downing my dad. I love my dad.
Right.
And he's not here to defend himself. And if he was, we would have a chat about it.
Yeah.
Earned
acceptance.
Yeah. Earned right? acceptance.
So,
acceptance.
Like pride, unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can see that taking place in families. Mm-hmm. Gossip. You know, talking about other people.
Yeah.
Lying, greed, rebellion.
Yeah.
All these things are just examples of sinful behavior patterns mm-hmm. that have been modeled, repetitive modeling. Like you said, we've seen these things year after year, over and over again. Our parents say, don't do this, but they actually do it. And so we learn these things
and
it gets carried into us.
Yeah.
And so until we recognize it, like what we've talked about, then you can't fully deal with it.
That's right.
Because you don't know, you don't have an awareness.
So what questions can we put out there so that people that are listening and those that will tune in at a later date can really contemplate and think about? Let's throw out some questions and then we'll finish
up. Of the list that we just talked about, that's not an exhaustive list, but you know, it's a starting place, right? So as you have some quiet time, this is why you can't be busy all the time. You can't run from one thing to the next. You can't be in Facebook, social media all the time. You can't be watching television. You have to have some downtime to allow the quietness, mm-hmm. that still small voice that the Lord will speak into your heart mm-hmm. and let you know that, hey, yeah, there is some issues here that you need to deal with. And he'll do that. He's a gentleman. And he'll help you, and he wants you to work through that.
Amen.
And so, you know, were some of these things, were you exposed to some of these things? And could be others that the Lord would bring to your remembrance or to your attention. And so, you know, are the things that we just mentioned, are they morally correct? Mm-hmm. Are they biblically correct? What is the standard by which you're evaluating that? If you're evaluating it, well, I'm better than the other people that I see. Well, that's not the right standard to make an evaluation from.
Or I'm doing better than my parents did.
Exactly. That's not the standard. The standard is what the Bible teaches.
Yeah, these questions are directed, what things were you exposed to from your parents?
Yeah.
So these are the questions that, not like, is this something that I'm dealing with right now? Yes, that's what you're going to get to, but think about your parents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How did your parents resolve conflict?
Mm-hmm.
Was it,
that's good.
You know, outbursts of anger and yelling?
Did you never see it modeled?
Like, yeah.
I never saw my parents model any conflict resolution.
Very little in my family as well. So we didn't even know how to deal with conflict. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just a lot of, maybe they did it behind the scenes and handle it and didn't want us to be exposed to that. I don't know the reasoning behind all that, but I know there had to be conflict.
Sure.
I mean, every relationship has conflict. So, but how was that handled? How did your family handle money?
Mm-hmm, that's a big one.
Were they materialistic? Were they greedy?
Mm-hmm.
Were they just not giving people? Were they miserly? You know, were they, you know, always dealing, looking for the best deal kind of thing? What exactly and how did they view money? Did they see God as their source for money? Or did they, it was all based upon what they could do and what they could drum up? So these are just some questions. I mean,
How did your father treat your mother? This is a big one. I mean, really take some time to think back on some examples. How did Dad treat Mom?
Yeah.
Was he honoring and loving to her? Did he listen to her and allow a platform, you know, for her to express her emotions? Mm-hmm. Or was he demeaning or, you know, critical, demanding of her? And conversely, how did your mother treat your father? You know, was she respectful and honoring of him as the head of the household?
Right.
Or was she critical and disrespectful and demeaning and all of those things? So how did your parents treat each other? And what were their attitudes towards children? What were their attitudes towards you as their child growing up? Meaning like children are just to be quiet and to sit, or you had a platform to share your emotions and they helped you figure things out, or you just had to do this on your own. How did they, was it biblical how they handled you as a child growing up?
Yeah. And I mean, the best thing to do, as Donna was saying and giving some examples, and what was coming to me, I think the best thing to do is just sit down, take some time in a quiet place and just journal.
Yeah,
just start writing down things that you observe and remember back from your childhood, and allow those things to come forward. And then at that point, if they're coming forward, then you know that it's something that God wants you to deal with.
Amen.
And he'll bring you through it, no doubt about it. But you have to ask yourself, okay, are these things, these examples that Donna has shared, we have shared with you, do I practice them now?
And not just of like, maybe I do. Yes, I do, but I'm better than what my parents were. No, you either do or you don't.
Exactly.
It's a yes or a no. And so.
Yeah, don't, because that's the gray area, right?
Yeah.
It is black and white, and there is an absolute truth, and there's an absolute standard, and that standard is the Bible. We talk about that all the time. And so you can't judge yourself based upon the next person beside you or the next couple beside you. That's not your standard.
Your standard is the Bible. It's the Word of God.
And God wants you to have the best, not to settle for something less than that. He wants you to have the best, and He has a better life for you and all of us.
Yes, He does.
In Jesus' name. And have you ever dealt with those iniquities?
Those
negative behavior patterns that you see in your parents that now you have been made aware that you see? Have you really dealt with those? Those would be the questions that we want you to ponder this week from this week's teaching, because next week we want to start to talk about, well, we want to talk about inner vows too, because we really haven't touched on that yet.
Yeah.
We want to talk about inner vows, and we also want to talk about how do we deal with these things. And it's not complicated, it's not hard, but you know, we want to give you time to think about this, to think about the teaching today, to reflect on your own life, to reflect on your life growing up with your parents, and give you some time to really meditate on these things and allow that to come forward. So next time when we get together, you can start to recognize and start to deal with these things.
And listen, if you start spending some quiet time with yourself, with the Lord, Lord, please reveal to me the things that I am pulling in from my childhood, from my parents, and you start feeling shameful or guilty, that's not God.
No.
God will convict you, and you'll have a check in your spirit, and it'll be like, yep, got to take care of that. Mm-hmm. The devil will make you feel bad about it, will shame you, will feel guilty, you'll feel like, I got to go apologize to every single person I've ever, you know, that is not...
Well, God may call you to do that.
Right, but I'm talking about the enemy.
This is,
you're going to feel like, or you'll start feeling like a victim, and oh, poor me, and I just can't handle this anymore, and I can't do it because, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Those are all from the enemy. So absolutely, just kind of use some wisdom and discernment there.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray for everybody. that recognition will happen, that awareness will happen.
Lord, open their eyes,
so, Father, we just thank you for this teaching. We thank you for everyone watching live and even on demand. We thank you, Father God, that this word is going out, and your word says that your word goes out and it doesn't come back void. And so, Father, we thank you that as the word goes out, that it's planted in the hearts of the couples, of the married couples out there, Father God, that they are beginning to see and have revelation about their past and how their past has come into their future, into their now in their marriage, and how it's having a negative impact upon their marriage and also a negative impact upon their children. Father God, thank you that transformation has come, that Jesus Christ has come to break and set the captives free.
Yes,
and we thank you that over this next week that revelation will come about these negative sinful behavior patterns.
Thank you, Jesus.
And as a result of that, they'll be prepared to repent and be and forgive themselves and have you forgive them of these things,
yes,
Father God.
God.
And then I thank you that you're going to help husbands and wives to walk out this newness that they're beginning to understand,
thank you,
Father
Lord.
God. And we just thank you for their endurance, their perseverance to do this, because if they'll be patient as you are patient, that you're going to bring them through and they're going to see change happen in their married life and
hallelujah.
In their parenting with their children. And
thank
they're going
you,
to
Lord.
See a generational impact take place, Father God. So we thank you for it, and we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Well, God bless you guys. We love
you.
See you next time.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.